Amen. All right. So good to have you today. I've been using that Israel flag for my first one, and today, because the first two or three slides have to do not only with Israel, but our country and so forth, I thought I would change things up today. And I'm going to start with a few, but we're going to get into Genesis 18 in a little bit. And we finished up 17 last week. And then I'm going to get into some points like this one. This came from the Jerusalem Post. This is a Jew that wrote this. God chose Donald Trump to win the election and to change the world. Now, it's an opinion article. I'm not saying that's a Jerusalem Post opinion, but this guy's opinion. But you don't see that very often. So, but it is true. He is right. Daniel told us, didn't he, that it's God that chooses kings and puts down kings. No matter who won last time or this time, God has done that. And so that's their opinion on it. Certainly, there are many good things, and that's the reason I put kind of both flags up, many good things that I want to talk to you with regard to the new administration, how it's shaping up, and Israel. I don't try to do a lot of politics. I don't try to do any politicking up here. What I try to do is we look at it from a biblical worldview, and we're in Genesis doing that, not only studying the, like somebody said over here this morning, studying the history of things, but when you do that, you find out it's current events as well, and that's because the Bible is alive. And so we'll keep doing things like that. Already, though, it's clear that this is from the Jerusalem Post, plans to bankrupt Iran with maximum possible pressure. That's already coming out that will be a big change, especially on energy and oil and so forth from the last administration. It came out this week. This was never said until about 3 days ago. Israel's recent strike, in fact, did hit one of their nuclear bomb development sites. So they weren't supposed to. President Biden told them not to hit, whatever they do, don't hit the nuclear or the energy sites. But this particular facility was doing some things that, by international law, Iran was not supposed to be doing. And so when Israel hit it, Iran couldn't complain and say they hit that site that does such and such because why? Because they weren't supposed to be doing it. And so that was a pretty ingenious strike, I would say, by Israel. And so nobody could say anything, really. And so Israel didn't get in trouble or whatever, but it was a pretty, come to find out, a pretty effective strike. There's been a lot of reports that have come out about the enemies of Israel taking a breath now, wondering what their strategic position would be, knowing that the administration is changing. I'm going to say more about that as we go. But I've seen several from Hamas saying they're ready to talk. Now, if they're only asking for Israel's ceasefire, it's not going to work. I've already seen where President Trump has sent a letter, a note, it was on social media, to Hamas saying, we want our hostages back, and I want them back before I get in office on January 20th. You might say, why would he do that? Biden will get credit and so forth. He's not worried about that. He's not worried about it. He wants the hostages back. President Trump knows he's got enough to deal with when he gets there. And if some of this stuff can get fixed before he gets in, that's what he wants. And so he's putting pressure on them. And it would be great to, those hostages have been that way, the captives, for a long time, and it would sure be nice to get that done. So I don't know if that's going to happen. What I do know is he's picked, nobody's been confirmed yet, but the people he's picking are pro-Israel. It's not really time yet to pick the ambassador, but all the ambassadors of the countries, but he went ahead and picked Israel. I'm sure you heard this, but there's not a better pick than you can make than Mike Huckabee, former, as you know, governor of Arkansas, but a former Southern Baptist preacher as well, who loves the Lord, loves Israel, and has made that clear, and very, very pro-Israel. For him to go over as ambassador is a huge, huge change, and the Lord will use that, and he will do some good things. This is from All Israel News. Joel Rosenberg is the editor there, and they wrote, Huckabee and Rosenberg will bring evangelical solidarity mission to Jerusalem to say, Israel, you're not alone. God loves you, and so do we. And I don't know if we'll see a mesh a little bit of and a softening of the Jews through this pick of Mike Huckabee. Would we see a softening of the Jews toward the gospel? And if so, I'm just telling you, if that sort of starts happening, we're in the end times. I mean, we're getting close, because Israel, according to the scripture, it's going to be the end of the tribulation before they as a nation, that remnant of Israelites, before they turn to God. And so if we start seeing some things, I would just say better be ready to go. We're in the we would be in the last stage, which we believe we are in the last days. Now, there's always somebody negative, right? When every pick you make, somebody negative. So, of course, this had to come out after Mike Huckabee was named. Is it a sign of the second coming of the annexation? Now, of course, they tried to use the play of the second coming in a negative way. And what he means is of the annexation, the second coming is, Trump allowed, Obama did not allow an annexation and fought it all the time. Made him mad every time they built a single apartment. And when I say annexation, it's not even a good term. What it refers to is Israel building neighborhoods on land that the world considers not to be Israel's land, even though it's Judea and Samaria, and that's clearly biblical Israel. And so it's Israel's land. God gave it to them. We've been all through this. Everybody in here knows this. It's Israel's land. But the world does not see it that way. The UN does not see it that way, and so forth. That's what they're talking about. Trump allowed it, annexation, and then Biden has fought against it. He wasn't able to really stop a lot of it. The problem for people that are against it is God continues to gather Israel, like he said he would do, and he's been doing that since 1948, continues to gather them, and they got to go somewhere. And you've got to have goods and services for those people in addition to a place to live. It is true, this guy's right. He's saying it in a negative way, but in fact, we're going to see a tremendous, I feel like we're going to see a tremendous influx of Jews coming home. In fact, I got this quote from Mike Huckabee. This is from a while back. As you well know, I have never, this is from Huckabee, never been willing to use the term West Bank. There is no such thing. I speak of Judea and Samaria. I tell people there is no occupation. It is a land that has been occupied by the people who have a rightful deed to the place for 3,500 years since the time of Abraham. I mean, Mike Huckabee agrees with the Word of God. And so he doesn't even say West Bank. The only reason I say it, and I usually clarify it if I can remember to do that, but it's just so everybody understands what I'm trying to say, since that's the term that is used out there. But really, it's Israel's land. It's the land that God gave them, and God has never rescinded that. And so there's going to be some heartburn a little bit in the world when as things shape up, but the team that is there is not only Mike Huckabee. I bring your attention to this. You can go online. You probably do this, know this, but if you go to the govtrack.us, you can find all the bills that they're looking at. You can find the votes, all that. And so they just sent, the Senate just sent Schumer this bill, I think two or three days ago, the Stand with Israel Act. And I do not think he'll pick it up, and vote on it. I'm worried they're going to do other things than this. But the only reason I bring this up is not because I feel like it's going to get passed. I really don't. But I went in there and got the names. You can find out who's sponsoring the bill. and then all about, you can read it and so forth. I circled that one on the slide. That says Mr. Rubio. I only point that out as, of course, as you know by now, Marco Rubio has been named the candidate, Trump's candidate for Secretary of State. It's highly likely he's going to get approved. Most of them will, because the Senate is Republican, and Rubio will have a lot of support. Will have support of a lot of Democrats as well. He is a huge supporter of Israel. He's a Christian, and so now we got both Huckabee and Rubio. I mean, that's two strong proponents for Israel. And for us, and good for us. And so I think it's just tremendous appointments that are being made. Now, I didn't put a slide in for Pete Hegseth. You know probably who that is, as Secretary of Defense. Pete Hegseth, you can go on TV frequently. He's got a tour going in Israel and does documentaries on Israel and has long been a defender of Israel. So you got the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and the Ambassador to Israel that are strong in Israel. It is not only true for that, but other names that we're seeing for a Mideast envoy and all that, it's the same story. And I just feel like, the appointments that are being made are very pro-Israel and will have a profound effect. Now, is everybody for it? No, not everybody's for it. Bernie Sanders, 2 days ago, he sent a letter. He did a bill. It's a waste of time. I mean, I don't know why he did this. To bring legislation to block the sale of certain arms to Israel next week. Bernie Sanders is supposedly a Jew. And yet he is always on Israel. I don't think there's a chance it's going to pass the Senate. I mean, we're not in that kind of a framework right now where anti-Israel people would have the upper hand. Second, it will be dead on arrival in the House. And so, Mike Johnson, very pro-Israel, there would be just zero chance that this is going to happen. But that just tells you that there is not everybody's going to go for everything. And Bernie Sanders will be one of those. We're already slow walking it, stuff anyway. I'm going to talk about something in a minute, but let me just keep going. There's several thoughts about the... So the Hamas is in the south. Lebanon and the fight there is in the north. And Israel is deeper into Lebanon than most people realize. The news sort of left the Mideast and moved to the U.S. election. It sort of, as you might, the term is, sucked up all the air in the room over the last several weeks. And so some people think that there could be a ceasefire. Meanwhile, Israel continues fighting there because Israel's is trying to root out Hezbollah because of all the rockets that they're sending into Israel. For some reason, France has gotten involved in this thing and helps Hezbollah at least reject Israel's demands. One thing we know from our study in Genesis, and you know it anyway, but we know, is that God blesses those that bless Israel. God curses those that curse Israel. Now, that's what it said. I'm not trying to make some. That's what it says. And we know, and we've talked about this in our own country, when our president has led the United States to do positive things for Israel or negative things from Israel, which, by the way, several of you have asked me to put together that list of the dates and the events and so forth, and you'd like a copy. So I will get everybody a copy of that. I'm going to, in a few weeks, I'm going to finish it out. Remember, I stopped when I got to the last two elections because the last three now, but the last two at that time because I didn't want to, there was going to be a lot of emotion and I just didn't want to, I didn't feel led to do that. I wanted to pause it. I'm going to finish it up, then I'll print that off for everybody. If you want a copy of that, I'd be happy to give you that. I know some of you are talking to others who find it a little bit unbelievable. You can find it unbelievable. That's That's pretty normal. I mean, it's a pretty rare thing that is happening. But when you look and see the exact events that happen on the exact dates, it should make you pause and think, you know, God is active, and God continues to act. So all I'm saying there is, I don't think France is very smart to get in this thing. I would say this too: if the guys that the ladies and gentlemen that Trump is appointing now, like Rubio, like, you know, Mike Johnson's there, of course, like Hesseth, and like the others that he's appointed, Huckabee. You know, they're probably going to be quite pro-Israel. Our country will be blessed for that. So you can look forward to that. I mean, God will stay by His word. And you say, aren't we an evil country? Aren't we? I mean, there's still so many bad things. And so, yes, we're going to get into that in the lesson today. God will bless anyway. I just tell you, God's going to bless if we come through like it looks like we're going to come through. God will bless our country for that in ways that we don't know, but He will. Last couple things here. There is concern on anything Biden might do in this period of time. We've got a little over a month here, and you know, there's still things as he administers the government that he could do if he wanted to. And the Prime Minister of the UK, Starmer, and President of France, Macron of France, they are trying to convince Biden to authorize these long-range missiles that Ukraine can use back into Russia. If I were, I would say it like this: no matter what party I was in, if I were the outgoing U.S. president, in a few days left, the last thing I would do is start a world war. That's, you know, why would you start something and just blow the whole thing up and leave? You know, that is not a good thing to do. That's the last thing I would do. But this could do it. If we start allowing long-range missiles to go into Russia, because that is going to hit Moscow, it's going to hit some of their things, and so far we've not allowed that, although they've been asking for it for Ukraine. But we'll see. I mean, this is coming out. When you see articles by more than one source, and usually I never present anything to you till I've verified it's true and that there's more than one source, if at all possible. When you start seeing some reports like this, it means somebody's talking and it's being talked about. And if these two guys are trying to push us to do that, there's always the chance. So I hope not. You can pray about that, because I think it'd be the thing would be not a good idea. That's my own opinion. But we're already in a battle. It's not reported very much, but there's the Houthis down there in Yemen, which is on the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula. I didn't put a map up today because I've got enough to do already. But the Houthis there are sending some very powerful drones to not on the ships that are cargo ships, they're still doing that, but on our own military ships that are there. The first thing report said it was on the USS Lincoln, but in fact, it was two other ships we have there when you read the report, and yet we stopped. We've got pretty good defense systems on those ships, and we got everything stopped. But we are in a constant battle with various forces there that are funded ultimately from Iran. And that's why Trump wants to go back to the source and try to cut things off, because that ultimately will cut off, you know, the Houthis have no way to get a lot of money. Neither does Hamas, neither does Hezbollah. And you really cut, when you cut the source off, it really helps alleviate the situation. And hopefully that we can hold out till then. But then Turkey jumped in here Erdogan has been rattling the cage. And of course, he just announced he's completely cutting off all relations with Israel. I've confirmed that he said that. I was surprised because he says a lot of stuff, and they've been against Israel on the outskirts, but he's been trading a lot with them. I mean, Israel's been buying things from Turkey, and he's been buying things from Israel, even though he spouts negative things. Some of the activity we're doing, but if we cut off Iran, and Iran is not able to supply Russia with their weapon systems, if that were to happen, we're going to line up Russia and Iran against us and we're clearly lined up with Israel. And if Turkey's against that, that alignment could be something serious for us and for Israel. They wouldn't be able to take us, but for Israel. We know that, at least in my opinion, the war after next, not the next war, I don't think, but the one after that, the Ezekiel's war, Turkey and Russia and Iran are going to play a big part on attacking Israel. That is coming. We may see part of that ourselves one of these days. And so it's certainly lining up that. Lastly, everybody's asking this question. I've shown you, not this slide, came up again this week, but I've shown you this before, is could Biden copy Obama with the December surprise at the UN to punish Israel's Netanyahu? We know that that's the last thing Obama did was punish Netanyahu with a UN vote. It didn't ultimately have a lot of effect, and the question is Biden going to do the same? You know, I don't know how much he's going to retaliate, what kind of mess he's going to leave. Trump was there last week in the White House, as you know. They promised a smooth transition. Biden was all smiles. We will see what happens. I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't do anything, because why would you leave a legacy like that? I don't know. Let's see. Now I'm going to talk about some of these issues. One of the things that we do those things, and it turns out that we're going to see it the same thing in our Bible, in our lesson, and so that's going to be the case today as well. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 18, and look at a few things. I think you'll see that. And what I'm going to do in the book of Genesis is I'm going to go a few more chapters, and we're going to get Isaac born, and then we're going to see Isaac's children born, Jacob and Esau. And then before I sort of get into the you might say, the founding of the Israelite nation, which I will get there, of course, I'm going to just take about a 3 or 4 week break from Genesis, and I'm going to go through the Psalms 83 scenario with you, because it will deal with those boys. And we're going to see that the tension that's going on right now in 2024 has to do with those boys. And so we're going to see that. And that's the reason I even went to Genesis and taken us through. So I'm going to deal with that, and then we'll come back and finish it, because there's other things and a few surprises, I think, that most people you can miss if you quickly go through Genesis. So we'll go back and try to finish it. I like to get into a book and finish it all the way through, because I feel like that's what God has for us. So last week we're in chapter 17, and Ishmael was 13 years old, and God appeared to Abraham, and he used God renewed that covenant the what's called the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham, and he talked about it 13 times. 13 times God used the word covenant. And then God repeated to Abraham, you're going to have a child from your own bowels. In other words, you're going to have a child that is not a child of your servant that you're going to call your son. You're going to have a son of your own. And God told him, I want you to call him Isaac. But Abraham, if you remember, interrupted God a little bit and said, well, I've already helped you out, God. You were running a little late. And so, I've got Ishmael here. I got Ishmael. I already took care of this thing. And God said, you know what? Because he's from you, I'm going to bless him, but he doesn't get the covenant. I'm going to do what I said, God speaking to Abraham. I'm going to do what I said, and I'm going to give you a son, and his name is going to be called Isaac, and it's with Isaac I'm going to establish the covenant. So we talked about all of that last week. Now let's open up chapter 18. And the Lord, verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, the Bible does not tell us how long it is between chapter 17 and 18. But what I find extremely, I'm going to just use the term interesting. It might not be a good term, ladies. I don't know. In this chapter, Sarah is going to overhear when the Lord and those angels are speaking to Abraham, and the Lord repeats again that Sarah is going to have a child and so forth. And I believe it's the first time Sarah's heard this. And so what it tells us is this. We know from verse 21 of chapter 17, God said, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So what did God say? God told Abraham, Sarah's going to have a child and going to have it in the next year. At this set time in the next year, right? That's what it says. So it only had to be, and so when we get to chapter 18 and it's the Lord incarnate, it's Jesus incarnate here with the two angels, that we're going to find out Sarah doesn't know this. So Abraham never went home and told Sarah. And I find that a little bit strange. But he didn't. I guess, and Sarah, so we know not much time's passed because there's only a year and it takes 9 months to have a child. And so Sarah didn't detect anything on her own. So obviously, it must have been just a few weeks later when God, a few days maybe even, that he appeared unto him. So God just shows up on the scene. And I just wonder if God thought, well, you know, if Abraham's not going to tell her, I'm going to tell her. You know, I don't know. But this is kind of a big deal. So here we go. Let's keep going. Verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. Now, so it's the Lord. I could take time to develop this, but Jesus, and I've said many times in here, sorry to repeat it, he did not have his beginning in the manger. Jesus is eternal past. Jesus is God. God the Son, eternal past, eternally future. And so Jesus was very active. By the way, God in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, are very active today. They don't appear to us in our tent door like they did then. Doesn't usually happen. But you know, what does this verse say I've got on the screen here? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, that verse is in there. That's what it says, right? And so we have to understand that is the case. And I'm going to show you a couple other things on angels as we go, since we're in this context, and I'll be quick about it, but it's one of the things we can pick out here. When Abraham saw them, it looked like three men. You know, the world, like on TV or something, always depicts angels in books. How? In a white flowing thing and wings, right? And that's the way they want, they say, you know, and so forth. But that's not the way you see them in the Bible. That is the way you see them on somebody's picture, but not in the Bible. They show up as men showing up. And here they're identified as three men stood by him. And so it would just be men. And so that's why God wrote this in Hebrews. If you were entertaining angels out there and they had a white flowing gown on and wings, he wouldn't have to have this verse in there, would he? You'd know. But now, so you might say, well, I wonder if I've ever run into any. You know, we're going to see that first thing Abraham does is he bows down to them, and we're about to see him. He turns into a servant here. Let me just read some verses, verse 3. And he said, my Lord, big L. Do you see that? Big L. You can always tell some things, especially if you go back. You know, you can get on a computer, blue letter Bible or something, and you can go back to the original translation and see the names of God there that were used. In our English, it's always translated Lord. If I've now found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Don't just keep going. Stop here for a little bit. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Now I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So Abraham, he sort of stops them and says, look, I mean, I want to serve you here. And he becomes, takes a servant, and that's what reminded me of this verse. Be not forgetful to entertain. He saw Abraham sees an opportunity to reach out and help, and so he takes advantage of that and immediately becomes a servant. When you do something for somebody, some little thing that you don't even maybe give a second thought to, you don't know how you don't realize how you've played a part in that, in other people's lives or in God's plan. The book of Titus and has only got three chapters, but on all three chapters, Paul talks about good works. Now, good works are not to get saved. We know that. Paul's explained that. We all know that. We get saved by faith unto good works. And then we do good works, you see, because we're different and we do good works. And yes, we're going to get rewarded for those works when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. I would say to you, you know, the thief on the cross, that accepted Christ, one did not, one did. That thief on the cross probably thinks, man, I got to heaven by the skin of my teeth. And when there's no need, the thief on the cross probably thinks there's no need for me to even show up at the judgment seat of Christ because I've got no reward. I mean, I got saved just before I died. And I would venture to say, why don't we just all show up there and see that day, right? Because he's going to get a lot of rewards. How do we know that? Well, one thing, the thief on the cross, he rebuked the other guy, didn't he? And he said, this guy's done nothing amiss. We're the guilty ones. He said that, didn't he? How many messages have been preached about the thief on the cross that accepted Christ? No, he testified of Jesus on the cross and got saved there. He didn't have to get baptized, by the way. No. Kind of shoots that whole theory that you have to be baptized to get saved, doesn't it? No, thief on the cross didn't have a chance. And Jesus said he's going to dwell with me in paradise. All of that has been preached and taught for 2,000 years because the thief on the cross spoke up at a pretty unpopular time, wasn't it, in front of the Romans to say I believe in him? Pretty unpopular time. I think he's going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ, and I think he's going to get his share of rewards because you might think, well, you know, I never thought about it that way, but God did, you see. God is counting every cup of cold water. And yes, you might serve angels. You might serve. We need to serve each other, but God is watching that. And so I take the time to say it is don't miss an opportunity to help somebody. Don't miss an opportunity to even say kind things. God is there and he's watching all this. And you see that this is the way Abraham is. The minute they show up, he said, no, wait, whoa, stop for just a minute. I know you look like you might be in a hurry, but just hang on to your second. Let me fix you up and let me serve you a little bit. And he does. So let's keep going. Look at verse 6. Let's see. Yeah, I read 3-5. Okay. Verse 6. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, so Sarah's in the tent, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Interesting that he stands there. Now, for example, if I invite you over to my house, and my wife and we have something there to eat, am I going to stand, I'm just going to pick on myself. Set you down, am I just going to stand there and watch you eat? And if you need something, you need another glass of tea or something, I grab it. Well, we will do that, but chances are, I'm not quite as good as old Abraham. I'm going to sit down and eat with you, right? If you invite me over, it's a pretty good chance. Aren't you going to do that? You sit down and just kind of we'll sit down and enjoy a meal together. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm just saying, what does a servant do? What a servant does, and you can think of it so we don't have really those kind of servants as much, but what does the waiter do? Does the waiter, that's what Abraham did. He just stood there like that, didn't he? And because he took on the part of the servant, said, I'm gonna serve these folks. One other thing I want to point out here, just as an aside, and I'm going to move on right after that. Verse 6, when he said, get ready 3 measures of meal. This is just for information. That 3 measures of meal in the Jewish history became a fellowship offering. 3 measures of meal. Now, Jews would never put leaven in their meal because they're unleavened, a pitcher of sin. But there's this verse in Matthew 13:33. So Jesus is going through several parables there. And this is a one verse parable from the Lord. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And so the idea was, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like the woman. She got these 3 measures of meal that comes right here from Genesis 18. And she takes and she deals with that bread, and that leaven, leavens the whole loaf, doesn't it? And he says, takes it and until the whole meal was the whole was leavened. Now a Jew reads that and would say shocked that of course the Jews today don't accept Christ as such as the Messiah. There are some Jews that are saved, but as a nation they do not, and so they're not really on this parable. But normally we would say, well, I thought leaven was a symbol of sin, and that is the case. In fact, a very similar thing is to say that the leaven goes into bread and it spreads, that's like a little sin in your life. If you're not careful and deal with it, it can ruin your whole life. That's kind of the picture. But that's not the way Jesus uses it here. He uses it like it's the kingdom of heaven. And you don't hear people a lot of times talk about really what that means, but Jesus is turning this whole thing upside down. And really, Jesus put that in there because when he came, the Jews were under the law. And Jesus came to bring grace, didn't he? He came, grace and faith, and he did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And so Jesus did a lot of things and spoke a lot of things completely different than the Pharisees were doing at the time. And so he used an example of what normally would be something negative. He tried to use it positive and said, look, Jesus said, when I'm on the throne in Jerusalem on this earth, you're not going to believe the way, my kingdom's going to spread. And folks, he's speaking here of the millennial reign, that thousand-year period of time when the lion will lay down with the lamb, when there will be peace and security throughout the world, when there will be love throughout the world, when there will be no disease, no heartache. I mean, it's going to spread just like the leaven that this woman takes in the bread. That's what Jesus is trying to say. He's trying to give a picture of his kingdom there. And so I just pointed out, since it's all taken from Genesis 18. So that's a little bit of a rabbit trail I just thought I would throw in there. Genesis 18, let's keep going. So they're eating there. Abraham is standing beside them, and they said they're going to speak to him here. Here we go. Let me see if I've got everything. Okay, speaking of those angels, one more time. I knew I had a couple more slides I needed to say. The angels there that Jesus has with him in Genesis 18 are going to do some things, but they still minister today. That ministering spirit sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So if you're an heir of salvation, if you're saved, we have angels ministering to us now. We don't see them, although the book of Hebrews says we've hosted some unawares, but we don't see them, but that's just what God does. When we get to the kingdom of God, when we get to that point I was going to make, let me skip two slides here. I'll come back to the other one. Jesus said this about us: for in the resurrection, they neither marry or given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. We will be like the angels in heaven. That does not mean you're going to have two wings and be in a gown. That's not the case. But I think we will be in our glorified body, the way Jesus was in his glorified body, and will do things like those that are not in their glorified body in the kingdom of heaven, those that are still here in their normal bodies, and we will minister to them in the Lord's kingdom. That's what's going to happen. Remember Jesus when he was in his glorified body in Luke 24, when he appeared to the disciples, and he basically cooked them breakfast that day, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. That tells us in his glorified body, he just ate and enjoyed food and so forth, which we will do. And so I'm just pointing that out, that these angels there that are with Jesus in chapter 18 with Abraham are eating and drinking, and they're fellowshipping with Abraham. And that is, I just want you to know, I'm just trying to get across, when you get to heaven, it's not about flying around playing a harp. That's not it. Okay, that's not it. We will be serving the Lord. We'll be praising the Lord. We'll be carrying out his business. And I could say a lot more about that, but that's kind of what we're going here. Now, let me get back to the thing. And verse 9, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will surely return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." Now, this is not news to Abraham by now, right? But look at the next sentence. "And Sarah heard it at the tent door, which was behind them." Right there was the first Sarah had heard of this thing. "And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." She was old enough, she couldn't have children anymore. This was going to be a miracle birth. Verse 12, "Then Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" Now, she's back there in the tent, and the Lord and Abraham and the two angels are outside, and the Lord knew she laughed. Can you believe that caused her heart to skip a beat, maybe? I don't know. "Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old. Verse 14, this is the Lord speaking. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now that verse, hope you got that underlined in your Bible. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Here's this verse. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. I'm already out of time. I didn't even realize it. I'm sorry. I get to that verse and just say that Sarah, when we get to the great faith chapter in Hebrews 11, we find that, in fact, Sarah was faithful, wasn't it? She laughed here, and she's going to be called on. I'm going to have to finish this next week. Everything got away from me today. Sorry about that. The Fowlers aren't here. He could loan me some minutes, but he's not here, so I got to be dismissed. Father, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful for the blessings you've given us. Dismiss us now with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.